Let's pray. Father, we declare that. We declare that with confidence that we believe in God the Father. We believe in you as Christ the Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit and that amazing work of grace in our lives as believers. And God, yeah, we look forward and we claim the power of the resurrection. We proclaim the fact that Christ, you are seated on the throne beside the Father. But God, we also declare that the Holy Spirit lives in you and me, drawing us into that relationship with the Father. And God, we thank you for that. We thank you because you live in us, that we can come into your presence just as we're doing now and say, God, we need you. God, we depend on you. God, without you, we're nothing. So, Father, this morning, I just pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit infilling in this place, but God, more importantly, in each one of us. Lord, for those who are hurting this morning, we claim victory, we claim your grace, we proclaim your comfort in their lives. For those who are in need, for those who are struggling and saying, God, I don't know where you are, Lord, minister to their hearts and lives today. And from all of us, we just praise and proclaim you as God and King and Lord of all. God the Father, Christ the Son, thank you, Holy Spirit. And we just worship you in spirit and in truth. And we invite you to speak to us this morning. We give you thanks. Lord, be with the kids as they go and they learn and they study and they sing and they worship together as well. Thank you, Father, for each staff member. Thank you for those who are giving leadership in the nursery this morning. And each child there in the nursery, Lord, just pray your blessing and ministry in their lives as well. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in this place. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Kids, have a good morning. Blessings. Thank you. Those who are teaching this morning. Maybe we better pray an extra special blessing on our staff this morning. The joy is, as parents, as grandparents, we've all had those moments where we just go, oh my goodness, what is happening here? But God is good. God is good. And that, again, to me, it's just such a thrill, you know, to see these kids head out. And we were praying this morning together in the closet there as people were coming in, and there was just that increased buzz out here in the gym. And it was like, what a sense of joy and anticipation of being together and just being here. And I mean, you're important too, but those kids, they're just incredible, and they're just fantastic. And we just pray an extra blessing on them. Prayer resources God's power. Welcome to this second message in this series on Ephesians. We began it last Sunday. And over these next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at this letter that Paul wrote to a church plant, a relatively new church plant in the city of Ephesus. And my prayer is, as we look at those words and we hear those words and we review something that parts of it are probably, well, I know they are, parts of the Ephesians is very, very familiar to you. But my prayer is that they'll take on a freshness and a newness, and we'll read it in a sense as, yeah, Paul, thank you for this letter to us, a church plant, a new church plant here in not Ephesus, but in the city of Kitchener. And again, reminder, my challenge to you, and I'm going to keep prodding every week. I just encourage you over these weeks, as I said last Sunday, I'd encourage you to read and set a goal for yourself to read the book of Ephesians 6 times over these next 6-7 weeks. Get a different version. Read, you don't have to read it all at once, but read portions of it. But just sort of set that goal, different versions in different settings. Sometimes read it out loud to yourself. Listen to it on an iPod. Go, if you've got a favorite place down by a creek or a river someplace, or you just like to go and hang out in the park sometimes, just read it in a different location and allow the Holy Spirit to speak in and through those words. Dig into Scripture. Each Tuesday, by Tuesday evening of each week, I'll be sending out through, or Kendra will be sending out for me, an email entitled, Chew. Yeah, I feel like I'm echoing in my ear here. Thanks, Isaac. It'll just be entitled, Chew on This. And it's just, again, a question or two, just to kind of get you doing a little more thinking and reading and hopefully prod some things. And by the way, welcome the feedback, as some of you did this past week. Thank you for that. Much appreciated. The church at Ephesus, relatively new, in a city that was a major city in those times, a provincial capital, a place of affluence, a place of influence. It was sort of a cross-section of trade routes. On the negative side, a city with some 50-plus temples, pagan temples to pagan gods, just kind of these major places of worship for those who lived there. And folks, I want us to hear this, because I think sometimes we look back in Scripture and we go, people who believe there, that was fairly easy. They don't face the issues that we face today. It's like, no, people in Ephesus, it was a tough go. It was a tough challenge. It was not an easy place to make that commitment to say, I choose to follow Jesus Christ, to be a witness for Him. These believers, these new believers, were walking a difficult road. The other thing we need to recognize in this letter that is different than, that written to the Corinthians particularly and some other letters, some of those letters were written with particular issues. Like Paul was really tackling some tough issues in some of those churches and confronting. That's not the tone of this letter. This letter is a letter of encouragement, affirming, building up, just kind of strengthening the folks as a group of believers. And I think it's so appropriate for us here to hear those words of saying, God wants to build us. This letter, Paul wants to affirm us and encourage us in our spiritual walk. Last week, again, just referring, sort of getting a context here, we finished the message time by eating an apple. Well, part of an apple, a slice of an apple. And again, and this may sound strange, but my prayer is that over these next week, every time you take an apple and you bite into that apple, you remember that message of God's blessings upon blessing. The first part of Ephesians there, that blessing of we are chosen, we are valued, we are adopted, we have incredible worth to our God. And then not only that, but He also gives life. And we talked about that in terms of that apple as we hold that apple. And I enjoy apples. But there's that sense of the incredible blessing just of having a fruit, having an apple. So many in our world would love to have an apple in their hand and say, give me, just give me something to eat. But there's a beauty of taste, the blessing just of that taste of that Macintosh bursting forth in your mouth. But then it's not only that, but it's that blessing upon blessing. We know that as we eat that apple, the vitamins and nutrients, they're impacting my health. They're into the bloodstream and they change me physically. Just like Christ living in you and I changes us physically. I need two volunteers, or three. Tammy, come on up. Here, thank you. Oh, my goodness, Maggie, I forgot your name. That's awful. Oh, Maggie. Oy, oy, oy. Sometimes. Maybe let's go back and do that again, shall we, Maggie? Oh, man. Sometimes this old brain just kind of does this freeze for a moment. You weren't supposed to see what these are. Do you like candy? Good. Okay. Would you take some candy and just enjoy the bite?
My mom told me not to take candy from strangers.
Oh, good luck. Maggie, I did remember your name eventually. It took some time.
Can I eat it?
Sure you can. Take some. Oh, I can't get this package open. Good grief. I even cut it.
It's childproof.
Oh, thanks. Have some. What do you notice? Pop rocks. What's happening in your mouth?
A party.
A party. Oh, that's a great word. Maggie's still smiling and chewing. Did I give you more? You got tears in your eyes. Okay, why am I starting off a sermon with pop rocks? And I was going to think about getting some for all of you, but I was thinking, yeah, anyway, we chose not to. I think there was a little wisdom here. What was happening? Sorry, I guess we should be, yeah. What was happening in your mouth, Maggie?
Things were kind of popping in my mouth, but I knew what to expect because I saw the package.
You saw the package, and you have kids, yes.
A lot of popping, still popping.
Still popping. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Thank you. What was this, you know, why bother? Why would, you know, the amazing thing to me about Pop Rocks is that sitting here in this package, putting them on your hand, they just sit there. There's nothing. They're in a sense powerless. There's nothing happening. It's not until we somehow access that power, release that power, that things begin to happen. And my recollection was that my kids used to buy these and that they were bigger and sometimes, but actually when I was at Bulk Barn yesterday, he said, they actually have changed them significantly because they were a little too big and there was experiences of kids getting their fillings popping out because of Pop Rocks. I'm going, oh, really? A power that when that Pop Rock, that candy is in my mouth, that saliva, that water combination, all of a sudden things are released. And again, to me today, I want that to become the symbol of prayer. The Holy Spirit in us. These Pop Rocks in the package, nothing much is going to happen until there's a releasing. And I believe that analogy fits in terms of the work of the Holy Spirit, powerful as we pray. Those Pop Rocks, prayer beginning to just explode and have an impact. And not just in my mouth, not just in me, but as we look at prayer this morning, we're going to see it has the potential to impact my community, our world, and above all, of course, our relationship with our Father. Let's do some reading. What did Paul have to say about prayer? It's going to be on the screen, but I'm going to be reading from the NIV, which is slightly different, but we're going to invite you in a moment to take the scriptures that are on the seats there as well and follow along at times with Ephesians. We're going to look at Ephesians 1, first of all, verse 15. He starts off with, for this reason. Again, we need to stop for a moment and say, what's the reason? The reason is he's looking back at chapter 1, the first part that we talked about last week. We're valued, we're chosen, we're adopted, and we're also sealed with the presence and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, he says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And I pray also that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seating him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God has placed all things under his feet, under Jesus' feet, appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And then as we jump into another prayer of Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, he says again, he starts it with the same way, for this reason. But there's a different reason that he prays this prayer. In the first part of chapter 3, which we have not looked at yet, he's talking about his ministry to the Gentiles, his calling to the Gentiles. And he finishes that talking about, yeah, and I've been suffering, it's been challenging, it's been difficult, it's been painful. And he says in verse 12, I ask you therefore, do not be discouraged because of my sufferings for you. Don't give up, don't be discouraged and fearful because of my sufferings. For this reason, he then says, I kneel before the Father, from whom my whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and high and long and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And then to the benediction, which reviews part of this, all this, a benediction, may now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or think, imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Incredible prayer. And we are going to conclude our service this morning with that benediction again. So I'm going to invite you to take the scriptures. There's some on your chairs there or on your iPhone. I'm going to be using a different version, but we're not going to read it in picture particular, but I'd like to have you see some of these connections along the way. So as we look back to, again, Ephesians 1, verse 15, where does he start? Two pretty significant prayers that Paul is praying here. Some significant statements that he is making of God's power at work in you and me. It's not just a power that's there in this package of pop rocks, which you shouldn't access. It's a power in you and me working out its work, being released in power. Verse 115, what does he start with? He says, yeah, ever since I heard about your faith, your love, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And talk about a lifter and encouragement. Can you imagine reading that letter and hearing that letter spoken going, really, Paul? Oh, fantastic. And my question would be to you this morning, on two sides, is there someone in your life that you can say, I know that they have always, always, always been praying for me. They've had my back. Or vice versa. Who is it that you could say this morning to and say, ever since I knew you, ever since I knew about your faith, I have not stopped giving thanks to my God for you? Are there people that come to mind? Parents, is it your child or your spouse that you can say, ever since I've known you, I have not stopped praying for you? Maybe a sibling. Maybe it's a friend that's, you could say, yeah, ever since I met you, I have not stopped praying for you and giving thanks to God for you. Grandparents, we've got some grandparents here. Is that your prayer for your grandchildren? Young adults, who is it that you're praying for? A friend, a fiancé, maybe someone in this body of believers right here that you could say, you know, ever since I've met you, I have chosen to not stop praying for you. And I invite you and challenge you to do that. To pray for people. Because prayer says, I've got your back. I care about you. I love you. My goal, my desire before God is to hold you up and to stand with you before my God in support. I love and I care for you. And then, folks, I guess my next question would be, if there is someone, and my commitment, my encouragement would be, if you haven't been praying for somebody, say, I'm going to start that. Let them know. Man, what a gift of encouragement to say, I just want you to know I've been praying for you and I am going to pray for you regularly. I just am going to lift you up before my God and I want you to know that. Because I think that is an incredible encouragement. Because as you pray, you unleash the power of God in their lives. James 5, great verse. James 5, verse 16 says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And you need it. I need to hear that. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. It changes situations. It changes lives. It changes people. Prayer unleashes God's power. Paul commands us, as Rachel read this morning, pray in the Spirit in all occasions with all kinds of requests. And I love that, with all kinds of requests. Because sometimes my prayers, it's like, I don't want this one to be public, but God, all kinds. And he says, that's great. Pray. Talk to me. What did Paul pray for here? Let's go into the next verse. He says, I remember in your prayers, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Oh, okay. Great prayer for people, for fellow believers. May God give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? Well, the part of me would say, well, we're going to give them, you know, God give them a spirit of revelation and wisdom so that they have a great career. They make the right choices in their business. Top of the class. We could pray all kinds of things, right? A spirit of wisdom. But Paul says, no, that's not what I'm praying, that you have a spirit of wisdom and knowledge and revelation for. It's that you may know him, that you may know Jesus better. Paul's deep gut feeling, his gut desire for people was that people would know Jesus more completely. Absolutely. That heart knowledge, that head knowledge. And you know the difference, right? When I talk head knowledge and heart knowledge. Head knowledge says, you know, I get this card from my good wife. Not that I have a bad one, but from Gloria. Got to straighten that out. I only have one. But head knowledge says, I can read this, and I go to the bottom, and I know that she loves me because she wrote it right there. I love you. I won't read you the rest. That's from me. But my head knowledge, I know that she loves me because I can read that. But I know she loves me much on a greater scale than that. I know I have a heart knowledge because I know that hug, that look, that passion. I know that kiss says she loves me. Heart knowledge as well as a head knowledge. And I believe that Paul says, my goal, my prayer, my desire for you as believers is that you would get to know Christ. You would get to know God's love for you. Head knowledge, you can read it, you can hear it, but it's also a heart knowledge. You're saying, I know because he dwells, he lives in me. Then he goes on to say, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. That is a strange image. And I was trying to think, how would I diagram the eyes of your heart? Well, my heart doesn't have eyes. But he's saying again, that heart knowledge to understand what may be enlightened that you know. And he says three things, and let's look at those. Understand that you may know the hope to which he has called you. God wants you to know that you can live with hope today. As we talked about last week, there's a whole lot of folks in our world that struggle with hope. And yes, he says, I want you to have hope for eternity. I want you to be looking at it and saying, yes, you've got a hope for heaven. There's, you know, life doesn't end at the grave. That's only the beginning. But he wants you to know in a head knowledge and a heart knowledge that you can live in hope today. Hope. Hope was restored for Lois. And I didn't ask if I could share this. But hope was restored for Lois this past summer. She got that call from the doctor saying, cancer free. I believe that restored a hope in many of the rest of us. As we saw God's power in prayer. I remember that day we were at the cottage getting that email, and I think I went back to that email probably three times to read it. It's like, did I read this right? Did I read that? And there was a restoring and a renewal of hope. Hope was restored for a mom, a family in our congregation this week as a result of a decision of support by our trustees. hope renewed. And I pray that sometime we can share that story with you. Hope was restored, as I said, in hearing and seeing answered prayer for Lois, for Nico, for knowing that and seeing God answer prayer, not just my prayer, but the prayers of many, restoring and renewing of hope. God calls us to live with hope. You're facing a crisis in your job, a crisis in relationship, a crisis in whatever. God says, live in hope. Paul says, I want the eyes of your heart to be enlightened so that you can know, you can see the hope to which he has called you. Hope. Hope in a God, a rock solid hope in a God who has sent his son to die for you and me. A God who through his power has restored Christ to the highest place in heaven. Highest dominion, ruler over all. A God who can heal the sick, who has defeated death and Satan. It's not a cutesy little, well, I hope so. It's a solid rock hope on our Jesus Christ, who is your Lord and Savior. But he also says he wants us to be enlightened so that we know that you, know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Did you know that you and I bring God glory? And I'm not going to take much time on this one this morning, but again, we are infinitely valued by God. We are of worth. We are valued. God is amazed and loves us, and we bring glory to him by who we are. He also prays that we may know his incomparably great power for us who believe. He wants us, he prays for us, that our hearts, our eyes would be open, that we would know his power, his incomparably great power. And he says that power that's available, it's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That power that is work within us is a power that defeated death, that has placed Jesus on the throne, absolute ruler, absolute King of kings, Lord of lords over all. There's nothing to compare to God's power, his power in us. And again, my prayer is, as that candy, we don't just experience a package of candy and say, I'm going to put that candy in my back pocket and I love to have power in my back pocket. It's not going to do any good there. If I don't put that candy into my mouth, I don't experience. That power is not released. That power is released through your prayer and your trust in a God who wants to communicate with you. Paul also continues this theme as he moves into Ephesians 3, chapter that we read as well. In Ephesians 3, verse 16, Paul prays that God will strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And as I looked at that, I'm going, why is he praying that? I look at the next part of the sentence. He's praying that God would strengthen me, strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. He's strengthening me so that Christ may dwell in me through faith. So we go back a bit. As an unbeliever, if I don't, you know, that before I made that commitment to Christ, before I knew Christ, I was dead. Scripture says so. But I needed the power of the Holy Spirit to even have enough faith to make that decision. So God not only grants me the strength and the faith to make that decision to accept him as Lord and Savior, he then impours his Holy Spirit, his power into me and you. But then he says, I want to live in you more fully. I want to live in you completely. And that's a challenge for us as Christians at times. Am I ready to allow Christ to dwell in me fully? And the phrase I would love to use, to take over the whole house. I remember talking to a student some years ago. And he had said, you know, I'm a Christian. But he said, Claire, I've got a hope, a career. I have some goals in career, whether it's business or music or whatever, engineering or art, maybe whatever it is. He says, I've got goals, and I don't know if I'm ready to say, God, here's my life, just take over. Because what if I don't get to achieve that goal? What if I don't get to that point where I want to be? What if? That's a tough challenge. God, am I ready to give you my whole house, my career, wherever you lead, God, take me. Strengthen me, Father, with power. Father, we just got married, and I'd love to have a family of 4, 5, 6 kids, and this last year or two, we just haven't even been able to get pregnant. God, I don't know, can I even give that to you, God? What if you don't fulfill that dream in my life? Am I ready to allow Christ to dwell fully in that area of life, that area of need? I see some people, and you probably see this as well, some people who say, Jesus, I want to follow you, but I just also want you to know that my money, the things I have, those are mine, my decisions. I'm going to do with my money what I want to do. God, give me the strength to give it all. Do I have the faith, the strength? And that's Paul's prayer, that Christ, I want to strengthen you, that he may strengthen you through your spirit and your inner being, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. Because as God dwells in me, he works through you to impact others and the lives of others. Scripture commands us to pray, as we just said there, Ephesians 6, pray in the Spirit in all occasions, all kinds of prayers and requests. And I want to emphasize that we're going to come to Ephesians 6 a little later on, but when he says all kinds of prayers and requests, Paul means that. There is no inappropriate praying. All kinds, in whatever situation, driving the car, driving your bike, just don't close your eyes. All kinds of situations, God says, you're welcome to pray. I want you to pray. I want to be in communication with you. But Jesus also taught us. He taught his disciples, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth here as it is in heaven. And we all know that in heaven, God's will is done fully, completely, totally, no question. And he's saying, as we pray, as I pray, am I willing to say, God, I want to put aside my will, and I just ask you, God, for the wisdom to line my will and my request. Let's line it up, Father. And I'm not going to ask you to line it up with me. I want to line my will, my prayer requests up with yours. Lord, give me the wisdom and the strength to allow you to dwell in me so completely that I can honestly pray, God, your will be done. And that is tough. It's tough for me. There's times I say, God, my recommendation would be, and I would really want, and it's like, but God, is that what you want? Is that what you're asking? Is that what you're wanting to work in? And it's like, how do I, for me, it's a struggle. Those all kinds of prayers, those pray without ceasing prayers, need to be focused on knowledge. Yes, they do. With godly wisdom. But they need to also say, God, what is your will? Your will be done. Thirdly, he says, I want to pray that you would have power, strength. And I go back to verse 13, where he says, what was the reason for this prayer? Don't be discouraged because I'm suffering. Don't give in to fear because you are being threatened. Don't give in, don't give up because you're facing tough situations. This is why you need the strengthening of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. God's in control. His power is available. I love Joshua, the book of Joshua. I love him as a character. Moses has died. Chapter 1 of Joshua, we have literally a whole chapter where God is speaking into the life of Joshua, a new leader. Moses said, you're in command. I bless you. He is now in charge. 5 times, folks, in that chapter, God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear. Do not be discouraged. I will never leave you. Be strong and courageous. And sometimes I read that chapter and I'm going, was Joshua deaf? You know, didn't he hear it the first time? It's like, no. He needed to hear that instruction, not once, not twice, not three times. And it literally, it's there five times in that chapter. And sometimes I wonder, did God have to speak it to him in the next day or two again as well, saying, be strong, be courageous, do not be afraid. Because I believe that you and I also need the strengthening of his power. Because there's times I struggle with discouragement. And I suspect sometimes you do as well. Sometimes we look at situations and we say, God, I don't know. This seems absolutely hopeless. This is nuts. This just doesn't make any sense. And God says, Claire, am I still on the throne? Yep. Do I still have power, God says? Yep. Then be strong, be courageous, and simply obey. I am in charge, God says. His power indwelling in you and me, strengthening you against discouragement. Let's wrap it up. Ephesians 3, just a couple comments. A benediction, a blessing. I pray that you being rooted and established in love. Are you rooted and established? Sure you are. Once we've made that commitment to the Lord, once we've said, yes, God, yes, Jesus, come into my life, take my life, let's go. You are rooted and established, and I'm not a great gardener, but there's a sense when a plant is rooted and established, especially those that you try to pull out at the end of, you know, this time of year in the fall because you got to throw them out, and you pull that out and you rip, and the pot, literally, it pulls the pot apart because the roots are just massive inside there. My prayer would be that each of us had that kind of matted roots in the love of Christ, rooted and established in love, to grasp how wide and long and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And I and you know that probably here in this earth we're never going to be filled to that infinite level because God is infinite. How do I get filled with something that's infinite when I'm finite? But God says, I just want to dwell in you more and more and more and fill you to the full measure that you will allow me to fill you. And folks, when I'm being filled with God, Scripture says over and over, God is love. I'm being filled with love. And there are times that I struggle to love people. And I say, okay, God, I guess I need a little more of your filling. I need a little more of you because I know your love for that person is absolute, incredible. Fill me. He's a God of love, a love that has the power to restore, to redeem situations, to bring healing, to lift up. The power of God in love to initiate compassion, to transform violence into peace, to redeem situations, to transform people, to transform nations. It's a power to change me. It's a power to change you. The power of love. Verse 20, and now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. And again, according to his power at work within us. His power is in us. Will we allow it to be at work in us, through us, out through us into our world? And that same power, go back to Ephesians 1. It's that same power in you and me that raised Christ from the dead, that placed Christ on the throne, that raised him from the dead. That's the power that lives in you and me. And I encourage you as you remember that to allow, first of all, Christ to dwell more fully, to give you strength, to bring hope, to confront discouragement, to confront fear, and to say, God, you're on the throne. Let's worship. Let's sing. Worship team.
last song is a song of declaration about God's power, so I invite you to stand up and to declare this with us.
What a great declaration. What could stand against? Yeah, amen. Our God is a greater God. Fantastic. Thank you. I'm going to invite us to pray, and I have many fond memories of Jim leading us in this benedictory prayer where he would phrase a line and ask you to respond back. And to me, those were just powerful moments, and I would like to do that today. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God. Can you grab that? The full measure of fullness of God. That's for us. He wants to dwell in us. Amen and amen. Bless you. Go in His strength and in His peace. If you haven't had your picture taken, we would love you to get that taken this morning. Kate will be here with a camera in the corner. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Blessings to you as you go.